Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point with live coverage of Election Night 2004. After one of the toughest presidential campaigns in memory, it is all about the voters and their votes tonight. Just minutes ago, polls closed in Georgia, Indiana, Kentucky, South Carolina, Vermont, Virginia, parts of New Hampshire, and most of high-stakes Florida. In half an hour, they close in West Virginia, most of North Carolina, and all of heavyweight Ohio. The race has been a nail-biter to the very end. With luck, the next few hours will tell the story of who will be the next president of the United States. But even that is not yet certain. In this hour, we'll bring you all the numbers just as fast as they come in. We will check in with reporters in key battleground states across the country and at Bush and Kerry headquarters. And we'll have up-to-the-minute analysis and, when we can, your calls. Tonight on Point, all the results as fast as they come on Election Night 2004. You can join us. What was it like at your polling place today? Are you hopeful we'll have a winner tonight? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me in the studio is WBUR's Bob Oakes, who will be rounding up all of today's voting results for us throughout the evening. Bob, polls are beginning to close. Everyone's nervous about calling this vote correctly after the media's bobbling of Florida results in 2000. At this hour, what do we know?
Well, what we know, Tom, is that three safe Republican states have gone for George Bush, or at least apparently gone for George Bush: Indiana, Georgia, and Kentucky. And the safe state of Vermont, Howard Dean's home state, has gone for John Kerry. And no word yet on Virginia, no word yet on South Carolina, two states that also closed at 7 p.m. because the results there are just too close at this moment. So the score at this moment, early in the game, is 34-3 in the Electoral College count, but it sounds like a Red Sox-Yankee score before the Red Sox ran the table.
Very, very early in the night. Bob, what about the many legal challenges that have been expected? I understand there are late developments in Ohio.
In terms of the legal challenges, they're expected across the nation, but you're correct, all eyes are on Ohio this evening. Midway through Election Day, a federal court issued a ruling that Democrats say could cause chaos. The court ruled late today Republicans can challenge 23,000 suspects voters in the state, many of whom are minorities. The ruling reverses what poll workers in Ohio had been doing for most of the day, which is simply letting voters go into the polls without a challenge. So if the final tally in Ohio is close, the ruling could be significant.
Bob, what do you mean, these 23,000 votes? Exactly what's the status of these votes? Why would they be challengeable?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure why they would be challengeable. I haven't seen the details of the court ruling. But if the results are close in Ohio, 23,000 challenged votes could prove to be a problem.
That is a big number. So speaking of big numbers, turnout has been described as large. What do we know about turnout nationally?
Consistent across the board. Reports from coast to coast about long lines at polling places. Battleground Colorado, for example, line stretching for two blocks. Georgia, hour and a half to 2 hour waits. Kansas, long lines. Florida, at the University of Miami, students turning out in droves, a 3 hour wait at one polling place. 2 hours in Concord, New Hampshire, another battleground state. And also word from New Hampshire that voter registration tables were jammed. New Hampshire allows same-day registration.
And problems at polling places? It seems relatively peaceful, but what do you see?
I'd call it scattered irregularities. It's just impossible to say whether there's a pattern. In Broward County, Florida, a handful of touchscreen voting machines failed. Similar problems reported in Tallahassee. In Boynton Beach, Florida, 40 touchscreen votes were erased because of a power outage. Outside of Florida, in Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, and also in Florida, there were complaints about the activist group MoveOn.org and its volunteers positioning themselves too close to polling places. MoveOn.org denies that.
Bob Oakes, we'll be coming back to you for a full recap of all the results as they emerge. Thanks very much. We'll be back to you later in the hour.
Very good.
We are calling the votes as they come in tonight in election 2004, lots of states, polls closing just at the top of this hour. Our news On Point news analyst Jack Beatty will be with us throughout the evening. Jack, here we are. It's a start, just three or four states at this point, but of course already people are looking at the big picture and trying to figure out what's emerging from the clouds.
They are, and you know, when you think about the campaign and the situation of the campaign right now, you have to note two strongly adverse trends the president has been fighting all along, and that is his approval-disapproval rating. Consider his disapproval ratings in the battleground states: 54% disapprove in Colorado, 53% in Florida, 55% in Iowa, 53% in New Mexico, 51% in Nevada, 49% in Ohio, 55% in Pennsylvania and in Wisconsin. And the second, which is just poison for an incumbent president. And then second, the independent vote. Gallup on Monday reported that no Republican in modern times had won the White House without taking the independent vote. Kerry is up 8 points
with the independent vote. And we'll be watching that throughout this evening as well. At this hour, as you've just heard, three states now for Bush: Indiana, Georgia, and Kentucky. No surprises there. Vermont for Kerry. No surprises there. Polls closed in South Carolina and Virginia. People watching Virginia in particular, if that's tight, it could be a negative indicator for Bush. He's expected to take it away. I want to get out into the field right now and hear what's going on. I'm joined right now from the Kerry headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts, by Audie Cornish, WBUR reporter. Audie, thanks for being with us. What's the mood there at the Kerry camp?
Well, the Kerry campaign has been fairly positive about the numbers that they've been hearing. Although they wouldn't comment on any polls, saying that the few they've seen were unreliable, they are sort of judging how well they're doing by the precincts they're watching in each of the key swing states. They're watching 60 precincts, 20 that went for Bush in 2000, 20 that went for Gore in 2000, and 20 that were a close call or mix. And so they're comparing how the Kerry campaign is doing in those precincts to judge how they're doing overall, and they say that they've had a lot of turnout, and that in terms of turnout, the bigger, the better for them. And so they say hearing about these large numbers of registration and people turning out is good for them, and so far they're remaining very positive about the campaign.
Where is John Kerry this evening, Audie, and what's he been up to as the polls begin to close?
Well, he spent most of the hours of the day cloistered in a hotel room doing satellite interviews for local news outlets in swing states. And so, as the campaign advisor Joe Lockhart said earlier today, they're focusing all their efforts sort of westerly. As the polls close, they kind of move their resources over and over and over, following the polls closing sort of in a wave. They're even saying that they're going to be following, and that Senator Kerry will be campaigning a little after polls are supposed to close, because people may still be standing in line, and they're encouraging people to get to the polls before they close, because once they're in line, they are allowed to stay there to vote.
Audie Cornish will be checking in with you throughout the evening. Thanks so much for being with us from Kerry headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts. I want to turn now to Washington, D.C., and headquarters of the Bush-Cheney campaign. WBUR reporter Monica Brady-Meyeroff is there. Monica, what's the mood in Bush country tonight?
In Bush country, it's very upbeat, very positive. I spoke to a senior advisor at the Republican National Committee who says that the president is confident of a win. And as always, they said they think this is going to be very close. It's going to be down to the wire. But they believe the president will be named the winner sometime this evening. And I said, so what's this say about then how close this vote could be if you're saying sometime this evening? Are we not expecting something that happened 4 years ago? And they said, no, they believe that by 9 or 10 tonight, the results will be very concrete.
Monica, Republicans have been very vociferous about their complaints about irregularities in the polls even before polling opened today. Are they making noise about that today on Election Day?
No noise about it now. They're sticking with the key phrase, very confident. They just want to talk about how the president is confident. He's calm. He's at the White House now watching the results with his family. His wife, his daughters are there. The former president is there, as is his mother, Barbara Bush. But they're just sticking with the very confident. Everyone is very confident.
So the Bush is watching from the White House tonight, and the whole message coming out of the Republican camp, confidence. Of course, everybody wants to feel that confidence right now, and with so few results in, they can still do that. Monica Brady-Meyeroff, we'll be back to you tonight. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Let's get a feeling of the voting field. Our WBUR reporter here tonight for On Point, Fred Tice, is in New Hampshire, a potential swing state in this election. He happens to be at the Kerry headquarters in Manchester, New Hampshire tonight. Fred Tice, what have you seen throughout the day in voting places in New Hampshire? What's the turnout been? What's the mood?
Well, I spent all day in Salem, New Hampshire, Tom. The reason I did that is that 4 years ago, Salem went for George W. Bush by just 2 votes out of more than 10,000 cast. It is still considered very much a town split 50-50 and one that could be a bellwether here. The turnout was quite large there. One of the voters said, boy, this is like church on Christmas. And the town workers said they were seeing record turnouts there, as well as record registrations of new voters. In New Hampshire, as Bob Oakes pointed out earlier, you can register at the polls on voting day. Now, that is not necessarily borne out by the Secretary of State of New Hampshire. He says, yes, a lot of people registered across the state today, but his office didn't seem to think that there was an unusually large number of new voters registering.
Fred Tice, some polling places have closed in New Hampshire now, more to close at 8 p.m. Any indication of which way this state is swinging?
I have no indication here from the Kerry folks who have yet to show up at their own celebration. And they told me that they were going to send all their field workers back to the phone lines once the polls closed here so that they could call key states out west and get the vote out there.
Fred, we'll be checking with you through the course of the evening in New Hampshire. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
Let's turn from northern New Hampshire to very southern Florida right now. Michael Mayo is with us. He's a Metro columnist with the South Florida Sun-Sentinel. He joins us from Fort Lauderdale. Michael Mayo, thanks for being with us tonight. What do you see in Florida?
Well, voting here started with a bang, and then surprisingly it ended with a whimper. I mean, early this morning, polling places had huge lines, long lines before the precincts actually opened. I spent them... I arrived at the first polling place that I went to at about 6:30, and there was already about 100 people in line. By the time the polls opened at 7 o'clock, it was 150 people in line, and a poll worker at that precinct who'd worked there for 20 years said she had never seen a crowd like that when the polls first opened. And it was pretty much the same scene all around Broward County and the rest of South Florida. But by 9:30 or so, things had kind of calmed down, and it was a steady trickle, a steady pace of voters throughout the day. And we thought there was going to be another kind of burst materialize at the end when the polls closed here at 7 p.m. After a work let out from 5 to 7. But it didn't really happen, and it was more of a kind of a just trickling out. And I just spoke to the last voter out of a precinct here in downtown Fort Lauderdale, who is a first-time voter, a 26-year-old woman who just first registered to vote for her first election 2 months ago, and she just cast her ballot and was the last one out of this polling place. So now the fun begins, the counting, and hopefully not the recounting.
Michael Mayo, what about that? Of course, all eyes will be on Florida. It was such a mess in 2000. Is the state in better shape, or are we going to have hanging chads and all the rest again this year from Florida?
No more hanging chads because the punch card ballots are gone, but now we're going to have the new problems, if it's close enough, will be on absentee ballots, and which a whole bunch went missing from this county last week, where they never reached their intended target voters, and there was a scramble to remail out absentee ballots, some which got to the voters, and some of them FedExed it back in time because they have to be in hand at the elections department by 7 p.m. tonight in order to count. So there's going to be a little bit of a contention there if some of them kind of trickle in late because they got out so late. And then the other one is the provisional ballots, which is for people who cast ballots who are challenged, and then they kind of decide later whether they're a valid voter or not. And the canvassing board is now convening, and then we'll basically be going through all these ballots through the night into tomorrow. And depending on how close this election is in Florida, again, it could prove to be either a very big deal or a totally insignificant.
So still a lot of room for trouble there, but we'll hope it doesn't happen. Michael Mayo in Fort Lauderdale with the South Florida Sun-Sentinel, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem.
So there we are, Jack Beatty. We're off to the races. Just a few states reporting at this point, and no surprises so far. But everybody hungry to see that big picture emerge.
Yes, and we have some exit polls from Virginia and South Carolina. Good news for the president. He's carrying in both states 60% of the Catholic vote in this sample. And also good news for Kerry. Toward the end of the campaign, there was some talk that there would be an erosion of his support among African Americans. Al Gore got 9 of 10. He's getting just about that in South Carolina, just a little less than that in South Carolina, and 89% in Virginia. So that hypothesis that there'd be a 15, you know, perhaps even a 10-point gain for Bush among African Americans, that hasn't happened in these states yet.
So still a lot to watch for. Virginia and South Carolina already closed the polls there, but we don't have Anything called in those two states at 7:30, Ohio weighs in tonight. We'll be watching that. We're watching all the results from across the country. We'll be back with full analysis of what is emerging in this electoral picture. Looking at Decision Day 2004, I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're at 1-800-423-8255. Join us. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point with election night full vote coverage 2004. We are talking tonight with reporters right across the country following all the results of today's voting as the votes come in. At this hour, eight plus statewide polling procedures now closed. Some big ones coming up in just a few minutes. At 7:30, North Carolina, one of those pink states. Ohio, the big state, which has decided all Republican presidencies. And at 7:30, West Virginia. We'll be following results there just as soon as they come in. From the 7 o'clock closings tonight, Indiana, Georgia, and Kentucky in President Bush's camp. Vermont in Senator John Kerry's column at this hour, but a lot more to come tonight. I'm joined in the studio tonight by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. Also in the studio tonight, Jim Nuzzo, Republican political analyst for the National Review Online. He was Deputy Director of Economic and Domestic Policy for George H.W. Bush. Jim Nuzzo, thanks for being with us tonight.
Glad to be here, Tom.
And with us from Washington, D.C., E.J. Dionne, columnist for the Washington Post, fellow at the Brookings Institution, author of Stand Up, Fight Back. E.J. Dionne, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Great to be with you always.
So we have just come out of the gates with these results. Very little really on the board yet, E.J., but I'm sure you're watching all the blades of grass tremble. What do you see out there?
Well, you know, I've been thinking tonight that if President Bush had not gone to war in Iraq, tonight's election would be very, very different. There are other things I could say about whether that he might have done differently. But I've been looking at some of the exit polls, some of the national exit polls. And what you're seeing is that the voters who are voting on the issue of Iraq are voting better than 3-1 against President Bush. Put another way, 48% of the country disapproves either somewhat or strongly of the war in Iraq. Those voters are going overwhelmingly for John Kerry. I think the great tragedy of the Bush presidency, and I'm speaking as if he's lost yet, and he hasn't. It's going to be a close race.
Certainly not at this hour.
I think the president would have won a landslide tonight if he had stuck with the kind of Eisenhower unifying persona he had in the months immediately after 9/11, and if he didn't turn around and use national security as a partisan political issue in the 2002 elections. And then, of course, there's the war. This could have been a very different election. I think the way in which he used national security, and especially the war in Iraq, completely changed the nature of it, and that's why it is so close tonight.
But, E.J., of course, Iraq is only one of a number of big issues that are almost, in some cases, equally sharing this pie of voters' priorities. I saw earlier this evening values, very big chunk of that pie that voters are voting on, maybe even bigger than Iraq, if I read it correctly.
Values are important to a lot of voters. The values voters tended to be part of President Bush's base, and you're right, they were a slightly larger chunk than the proportion who named Iraq. But those voters, I think, were going to be there anyway for President Bush. Also, voters who voted on the economy and jobs voted overwhelmingly for John Kerry. But this recovery has been uneven. There are some states in which, Ohio notably, where the last 4 years have been very bad, particularly for manufacturing, but that there are other battleground states tonight, such as Wisconsin, which have not done so badly in this economy, and where I think that if it had been purely a values economy election, the president would have done much better.
Jim Nuzzo, you bring a Republican perspective to these results as they begin to come in. What do you see taking shape here? What are you looking for in these early hours?
Actually, I'm going to be looking a little bit more at the Senate races. I'm sort of concerned as to what's going on both in South Carolina and in Kentucky with Bunning and DeMint. If we start seeing Jim Bunning, who should have had a very easy race in Kentucky, and all of a sudden he made some statements which made people think is that he was a little bit, well, his fastball had sort of lost a couple of miles an hour off it, and it became very competitive. If he starts pulling away with that race, if DeMint in South Carolina, which at one time was a very close race, if that one also was a pull away, that'll be good signs for the president. On the other hand, the fact that Virginia may take a little bit longer to come in, suggests that this could be a very long night. I want to take one exception with my friend E.J. I don't know as to whether this would have been a blowout no matter what. I think that since 2000, we've had such a divide in this country. People might not want to sort of talk about values necessarily to the pollsters, but there has been a real sort of shift between, you know, it's almost hackneyed to say, the red and the blue states, between people who held very different conceptions of what is America. And frankly, if it wasn't Iraq, it would have been something else.
Now, I should say on this Kentucky poll race that you're pointing to and saying it could mean trouble for President Bush if it's not going well, the Republican, Bunning, is, with 30% of precincts reporting, trailing the Democratic candidate, Mongiardo, 55-45%. Of course, this is still,
well, you have
still
to,
early.
Kentucky is a very interesting state in that Kentucky has two very different sides of it. And how it's sort of where the data is coming from, this can either mean very good or very bad news with Kentucky. But the fact that that Bunning isn't pulling away in big ways, again, long night for the president.
So we will be watching that. E.J. Dionne, Jim Nuzzo, stand by. I want to reach out right now to a big swing state in this election, Pennsylvania. Dennis Roddy is a political columnist and staff writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He joins us from Pittsburgh. Dennis Roddy, thanks for being with us. What do you see in Pennsylvania today?
Well, in Pennsylvania at this point, we are seeing, in many respects, an inversion of the political logic that's existed in years past. It's always been held that, for instance, Philadelphia's huge Democratic majority would be offset by Republican suburban counties that ring the city, Montgomery, Delaware, Chester, Bucks, and that the southwest of the state would always be a Democratic monolith. Well, mm-hmm. We're starting to see a shift in that. We're starting to see early polling results suggest that if President Bush doesn't, in fact, lose some of these suburban counties, he's not going to come out of there with the margin that he needs to offset Philadelphia. At the same time, the Republicans figured out months ago that they needed to harvest votes in the southwest of Pennsylvania, and that has tended to be Democratic country on the strength of the economy, but people in this area are beginning to vote cultural issues. And in fact, I think we're seeing that... I think that's being mirrored across the country. You know, you can change your economic situation, but your cultural views are something that you tend to carry most of your life.
Dennis, let me ask you, it's still half an hour until polls close there in Pennsylvania. Do you have any early reading? Your analysis of the suburban ring of Philadelphia seems not to bode so well for President Bush, but so far, anything more firm than that?
Anything more firm than that, other than the polls that we've seen right up to the very end?
Yes.
No. I mean, we're not starting to get vote totals.
Right.
We are starting to get a few rumblings of potential litigation in Philadelphia. A federal court ruled that absentee ballots would not be counted tonight. The Republican Party went to court to seek an injunction on that because they had not received a list of all of the absentee voters from the Philadelphia Elections mm-hmm. Department, making it impossible for them to challenge potential absentee ballots.
So they'll eventually be counted, but not counted today on Election Day, is
it? They will not be counted tonight, and that could be tens of thousands of votes there. Now, you know, this is going to matter significantly, one, if there is reason to think there are going to be a large number of Republican ballots in there. Philadelphia is 5-1 Democratic. And secondly, assuming that a judge would discount those ballots, you know, both propositions are I think, rather unlikely.
But it could be another factor that keeps this this election and maybe Pennsylvania's 21 electoral votes in limbo.
It could keep a lot of us up tonight if it's close elsewhere, yes.
And Dennis Roddy, finally, let me just ask you, how do you read that softened support for President Bush in the traditionally Republican suburbs ringing Philadelphia? What do you make of it?
Well, what I make of it is, one, moderate Republican women who are put off with the president's position on abortion, moderate Republicans who are put off with the president in general just for his what they see as sort of cultural saber-rattling. Pennsylvania's Republicans and Pennsylvania's Democrats are both sort of, you know, famously centrist. You know, what I've always said, that they tend to the far middle
right.
in politics. And that's what makes Pennsylvania an interesting barometer for the rest of the country, because I think what we're seeing in terms of what I take to be people's motives in the way they're voting in this state is probably going to be reflected nationwide. I mean, you take a look at states like Kentucky and Georgia, where gay marriage bans are passing. This is happening because of a sort of cultural conservatism cultural flashpoint issues that are getting onto the ballot and being fought out.
And those two sitting in President Bush's column right now in early returns. We will be watching Pennsylvania with that big crop of electoral votes. Dennis Roddy, thanks so much for joining us tonight from Pittsburgh.
Pleasure to be there.
Dennis Roddy with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I want to turn back now to WBUR's Bob Oakes, who's watching all the results as they come in. Of course, just a couple of minutes ago, we had more polls closing. Bob, what are the latest poll closing states, and what do we see at this point?
Latest poll closing states are, of course, the prize everyone is waiting for tonight, Ohio, but we're not going to know about that for some time, of course, because the polls there, the pre-election polls showed the race too close to call. However, George Bush has picked up another state and another five electoral votes. He has won West Virginia, so add that to Kentucky, Indiana, and Georgia, and he leads John Kerry in the very early going, 39 electoral votes to 3.
So still just a fingernail's worth of returns here. What about on senatorial races, Bob?
We have word on three senatorial races, two incumbent Democrats winning re-election, Evan Bayh in Indiana and Patrick Leahy in Vermont. No surprise there. But Republicans have picked up a Senate seat, sort of, in Georgia, where Johnny Isaacson, the Republican candidate, has won. He takes Zell Miller's open seat. Miller, of course, the Democrat who's backing Bush and voted with the GOP most of the time. So while it's a gain in numbers, so to speak, for the GOP, it's not necessarily a gain when it comes to voting power.
And any more word of legal challenges at this hour?
In Colorado, top elections officials say the vote count there could be held up for several days because of new voting rules and legal fights. In the District of Columbia, the Justice Department is sending out three times as many poll watchers as it did 4 years ago to check with problems reported regarding absentee ballots and provisional ballots. In Florida, a judge today granted an injunction to a Republican poll watcher who'd alleged the Democrats were threatening to sue GOP poll watchers if they challenged voters they didn't know personally. However, Florida state officials say all is going well. However, Democrats and Republicans are accusing each other in Florida of election fraud, and other groups are complaining about delayed absentee ballots and mishandled voter registration in Florida.
Bob Oakes, thanks for the update. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk with you again later.
Okay.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. E.J. Dionne in Washington, what are you anticipating tonight? We're hearing all of this talk about legal challenges, lots of things already that could be snags in individual states, and of course those can turn into snags for the national process. Are you guessing we'll have a result tonight? Are we destined to have days or weeks of uncertainty?
To give a completely non-responsive answer, it depends. It seems to me that if you have reasonably big margins in Florida and Ohio, and I think it's much less likely that you're going to have litigation. If either of those states looks very, very close, then I think you will have litigation and a problem tonight. But I want to go back, if I could, to something Jim said earlier about the idea of a culture war in the country.
Yes.
There's another thing that is striking from the exit polls. People were asked a very simple question. You think of yourself as a liberal, a moderate, or conservative. It's about a fifth of the country thinks of itself as liberal. Those voters, not surprisingly, went about 8-1 for Kerry. About a third of the country think of themselves as conservative. Those voters went about 5-6-1 for President Bush. But what's interesting is 45% of the country calls itself moderate, and it appears that John Kerry has won those voters by about 3-2. And I think we may see here the cost of the Karl Rove, President Bush strategy of appealing to the base. Moderates, I liked the gentleman from Pennsylvania who talked about, I guess it was extreme moderates, I've forgotten the term he
right.
used. This is still a very moderate country. And I think if the president is in some trouble tonight, it's because that group, the group that doesn't belong to the Christian coalition, doesn't necessarily belong to the ACLU,
is on balance more skeptical of the president. And I think that in the end, he might have done better off tending to that group. It appears that John Kerry has appealed to them a lot more than President Bush did.
Jim Nuzzo, if moderates are 45% of the electorate, and if they're going 3-2 for John Kerry, does that mean a bad call by Rove/Bush on their positioning with the base?
Well, I think that he has both Bush and Kerry had problems and that they had a divided party that they had to both deal with. And you see this in the Democratic Party, in which you saw Kerry sort of shifting between being a moderate and being someone who appealed to the Michael Moore folks. And I think the same thing may be said in the Republican side. What is fairly clear is that if indeed Kerry wins tonight, he's going to have to appeal to the moderates, because the Republicans are going to maintain the Senate, it looks like. They are going to maintain, even with a larger number, of the House. And if Kerry wishes to have a presidency which is not dead on arrival, he's going to need to go for those radical moderates.
We now see West Virginia added to Bush's victory column, along with Indiana, Georgia, and Kentucky. John Kerry with Vermont at this hour. Many more results to come in soon. Jack Beatty, here we are. EJ says Kerry's winning those moderates. Bush has cost himself. On the other hand, he's got some votes coming in here as well. Tonight is, in a way, a referendum on that hard positioning of Bush and Rove.
It is indeed, and it was a hypothesis that right from the start seemed risky, because the very things that were going to mobilize that base, the evangelical base, were going to counter-mobilize people on the other side. And it was a risky strategy. We don't know whether it'll work or not. But interestingly, on the question of undecided voters, how are they breaking? Assumedly, people who decided to vote today, for whom to vote today, were undecided, and they're breaking very strongly for Kerry in Kentucky by 60 to 36. People who decided today or the last 3 days in South Carolina narrowly. More people who decided in the last days for Kerry, and also in Virginia. So Kerry seems to be taking the votes of people who are deciding today or in the last couple of days, that is to say, undecided voters.
That's true in the national surveys as well. The people who decided today are about 5-4 for Kerry, and by just a little bit more, the people who decided in the last 3 days. It raises the interesting issue that, A, the Osama bin Laden effect either was negligible or may have helped Kerry a little bit. But more to the point, the news in the last week was not very good for President Bush. The focus was on finding those the disappearance of those weapons in Iraq and also this investigation of Halliburton. So I think the president appears to have been hurt by the news of the last week.
E.J. Dionne, we've only got you for another half minute. Give us your scorecard. How are you going to be watching the returns for the rest of this night? What are the key things you're waiting for?
Well, I think like virtually every political junkie in America, I'm looking very closely at Ohio and Florida. And I'm going to be very interested in turnout and in the role of the various groups who are organizing people. If you have a big increase in Democratic turnout, I think you're going to have to say that there has been a little bit of a change in our politics. We've talked about the power of the media and even the Internet. But you may see the power of people working on the ground to register and then drag people to the polls.
Knock and drag. E.J. Dionne at The Washington Post, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Always good to be with you. Thank you.
Terrific to have you. We are watching all the results on Election Night 2004. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we are following all the election results from across the country on Election Night 2004. You can join the conversation tonight, 1-800-423-8255. And at this hour, at this minute, here's where we stand. A good near dozen states where polls have closed now, some where they've only closed in part of the state. At this point, we have in President Bush's corner, and of course, 270 electoral votes is the magic number for everybody tonight. President Bush has an early lead, but it means nothing at this hour with so many more to come. 39 electoral votes with Indiana, Georgia, Kentucky, and West Virginia in his corner. John Kerry, 3 electoral votes with Vermont, but again, it's very, very early hour. Polls that have closed, but where the result has not yet been called, Virginia, South Carolina, and the great one, Ohio. Everybody is Waiting on that. We're getting full analysis of what's going on out there tonight with a terrific crew right here in the studio. I'm joined by On Point's news analyst Jack Beatty, by Republican political analyst Jim Nuzzo, and now from the Democratic camp, Steve Jarding. He's a lecturer at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, former campaign manager for Mark Warner's 2001 winning gubernatorial bid in Virginia, former director of leadership PACs for John Kerry and John Edwards. Steve Jarding, wonderful to have you tonight. Thanks for being with
us.
Great
to be here, Tom. Thanks.
So you're looking at these numbers and these very early returns like all the rest of us. What do you see at this early hour?
Well, it's a little hard to tell because the states that have come in so far pretty much would go along to what projections would have been pretty much on anyone's map. But there are some things that I think you're starting to see. If the turnout indeed holds and it's as great as it is, at least traditionally that would suggest that maybe the Democrats are helped by that. Again, you have to see where that vote's coming from, and you have to see, get inside the numbers and see what blocks of voters are indeed voting. But it does – there's a feel out there when you look at some of the internal numbers that we've gotten, whether the Bunning race stays the way it is in Kentucky. There's in South Carolina, the exit poll showed that Kerry actually was getting 41% of military vote. Mm. I mean, if that actually is happening out there, there's something in the water today that suggests that maybe there's some things going on that no one really would have projected. I mean, if you look at military registration, for instance, it's about 75% Republican. So if indeed those numbers are accurate and Kerry is breaking 40%, that's a big number. And if that has a trend anywhere else in the country, that is very bad news for the president. But it is early, and we'll just have to stop and take a look at it as these things keep coming in.
Jack Beatty, everybody is following every little twitch today out there in the blogosphere, internet land, all kinds of projections going on, and people are paying attention. Wall Street took a little bit of a hiccup today, and immediately on the Reuters news wire, it was saying Dow Jones Industrial Average down because of exit polls showing Kerry ahead. It wasn't much of a down. It wasn't a big deal. But people are watching closely, and they're watching even before the traditional big media outlets begin to make their calls, and they're going to be more hesitant on that this year after the baubles of 2000. People already watching these threads, insights, even conjecture and speculation on the web.
Yes, and some going pretty far out on the limb. John Zogby, for example, predicts a Kerry victory at 311 electoral votes. Now, that's really staking your flag very early in the game. That was at 5 o'clock, for what that's worth. The Harris people, in their latest report, thought it looked like Kerry, but anything could happen. But looking at these, just quickly looking at these exit polls, again and again, Kerry, the group he seems to be doing best among older people and younger people. And he's doing very well among younger people, even in South Carolina, carrying them narrowly. And people who vote on Iraq, the point that EJ made, overwhelmingly, even in Kentucky and the southern states, if you disapprove of Iraq, you're voting overwhelmingly for John Kerry.
Let's hear a voice right from the heart of this campaign this year. In Columbus, Ohio, we are joined by Joe Hallett. He's senior political editor for the Columbus Dispatch. Joe, thanks a lot for being with us tonight. What do you see in Ohio today?
Well, what we see are tons and tons of voters, very long lines. Some people in Columbus stood in line to vote up to 6 hours.
Wow.
We have staffers here at the Dispatch who were in line for 4 hours, and they're still in line. People are still lined up.
Even though the polls have technically closed, I suppose they're holding them open for those in line.
Yeah, in Ohio, if you're in line by at 7:30, then the polls will be held open for you to vote, and there are still long lines in many precincts across the state.
Joe, what do you make of those lines? Is this poor organization at the polls, or is this just a great big turnout?
Well, I think it's mostly the latter. I think there is such intense interest in this race. Largely because because I think Bush has been a bit of a polarizing president. He's made some tough calls, that have angered a lot of people, or for his supporters, made them happy. Anyway, he's a flashpoint president, and folks feel strongly about him. I think when I see these lines. The Democrats registered upwards of 1 million new voters here.
An astonishing number.
Yeah. I should say there are that many new voters here. They're not all Democrats,
right,
but they're predominantly in the Democratic wards. And they appear to be turning out. The voters are staying with it. They're not deterred by the long lines. And I guess what it says to me generally is that people don't endure these long lines to preserve the status quo. I think that they are likely to vote for or to break for Kerry.
Joe, let me ask you. President Bush, of course, took Ohio in 2000 against Al Gore. He has visited the state many times, including, we're told, today. What in the president's messaging has worked there, and what hasn't?
Well, he has played at a disadvantage here because of the economy. The economy, as you've heard before, 232,000 jobs lost, 167,000 in the manufacturing sector. That automatically put this state in play. And the Bush campaign has done an excellent job at trying to turn the debate on terrorism and national security. And but I think in the waning days, people have begun to refocus on the economy here because it hasn't improved. And Bush came back today, I think, primarily to fire up the troops. He went to his headquarters here and made some phone calls to voters, and a very unusual visit by a presidential candidate on Election Day. But we have seen these guys so much so far. The four candidates, including the running mates, Cheney and Edwards, have combined for 82 visits to Ohio since March 3rd when Kerry clinched the nomination.
It's a lot. Joe, finally and quickly, let me just ask you, you're senior political editor there at the Columbus Dispatch. When are you expecting to know how Ohio turns out? Of course, the polls technically closed at 7:30. What's your anticipation? What time will we know?
Maybe sooner than... Well, I don't think we'll have any official results till midnight because there's so much activity at the polls. But I think we should have a pretty good idea, maybe 11:30, about who won here.
We will be watching. Joe Hallett at the Columbus Dispatch, thanks so much for being with us from Ohio tonight.
Happy to be with you.
Let's get a quick call here. Gary is calling from Edinburgh, Pennsylvania. Hi, Gary. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. It's nice to talk to you.
Good to have you.
I like your show.
Thanks a lot.
I'm in the northwest Pennsylvania area, and I went to the polls this morning, and I just wanted to say that I'm really impressed that there were that many happy, smiling faces. Nobody seemed really upset. Nobody seemed too nervous. And also, you know, there were a lot of people in the 18 to 25 range. I'm 20, and I saw a lot of people around my age at the polls today, and that really made me happy.
When it's all working, it's a great feeling, isn't it, Gary, to see it happening?
I know that that's rare because, you know, most states probably are the big states like Florida and Ohio, there may be really big problems.
And what's your sense of the young voters you saw there today? You're one of them, leaning Kerry, leaning Bush.
Well, not leaning Kerry, very for Kerry, very against Bush myself. I think there's a lot of students that are for Kerry and leaning towards Kerry, but it's hard to gauge because when you're on campus, a lot of students are afraid to be conservative because they feel that they're in an area surrounded by liberals. So they tend not to speak up as much, I don't think. So I think that the 18 to 25 is gonna push it towards Kerry, but I can't be completely sure about that.
Also, sentiment out there for George Bush. Gary, thanks very much for your call. So here we are, coming up on 8 o'clock. We've got Indiana, Georgia, Kentucky, and West Virginia reporting in for George Bush. Vermont for John Kerry. Polls closed but not called in Virginia, South Carolina, and the big one, Ohio. Jim Nuzzo, a Republican political analyst, is with us. He's been hearing analysis from Steve Jarding from Ohio. What do you make of how this is unfolding, Jim?
Well, one thing I think we have to be very careful about when we're looking at these exit results, I've been looking at the internals, and one of the things which strikes me, both in terms of the two internals that I've been looking at, one is Virginia, and the other is South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The vote by gender had 45% male, 55% female in Virginia.
For whom? Or just turnout?
Just turnout.
And so many more women.
Well, that gives you a question as to whether or not this is a representative sample.
I see. Yeah, right.
So
right.
When you're taking a look at this data, you have to be very careful as to whether or not the data has been scrubbed properly, whether it's been weighted properly. We know, for example, that men break Republican, women break Democratic. If indeed the 45-55, for example, in Virginia, or even worse for the president, 43% male in South Carolina, 57% female in South Carolina. If it really turns out to what it normally does, which is 51-49, 52-48 for women over men, mm-hmm. then these numbers don't hold up.
Right.
And so, all of the internals that we're looking at, you can throw them in the garbage.
All of which is to say be very careful of the exit polling.
Absolutely.
As we move through this evening, because the internals, or what you mean, what the questions that are asked beyond simply who you've voted for today, can illuminate. They can also mislead.
That's right. So, and we remember that in 2000, we threw out this system. This is a brand new exit poll system. It's never been tried before, and the wheels might come off this one as well.
Yeah, of course, this after the big mishaps with people calling Florida one way, then calling it the other way. No one wants that to happen this evening. Steve Jarding, of course, it's a big country, and we've got that whole western wing, which is a long way from closing up shop as this begins to unfold tonight. Looking at the map here, and all the activity is clustered around that eastern seaboard and just creeping out toward Ohio, Kentucky, in Indiana. A lot of the mountain states, of course, will eventually come in for Bush, and then you get to the west coast, and you've got Kerry country again. But in what we see unfolding so far, rising confidence on the Kerry front or not, in your view?
I honestly think it's too early. I mean, there are some of the internals, as Jim said. I mean, if you looked at the numbers and these internal numbers hold, it's not only good news for Kerry. It's probably good news for Inez Tannenbaum. It's good news for Erskine Bowles. I mean, if these gender numbers, for instance, hold, and some of the other internals, again, traditionally, historically, that wouldn't be the case. Perhaps it is. Maybe the women are dissatisfied the women's vote with what George Bush has done.
Would be historic if they had a 10-point greater participation than me.
Yeah, I mean, it most likely would not hold.
Right.
But again, I think there are other variables that you have to look at that make it early. I mean, you look at all the absentee balloting, the military voting that's unprecedented. You look at all the registration. Apparently, this was going to be a record turnout. You start throwing those variables into the mix, and this whole thing can get mixed up. I mean, if this is a pot, it's going to get stirred a whole bunch of times tonight. And you can't. It makes it much more difficult to predict.
And with so many results that won't come in for days, military votes were told it won't come in for another 9 days. Does that mean – what do you think of the odds that we'll have an outcome tonight or in the wee hours?
Well, if Zogby, for instance, is right and the numbers are such that John Kerry –
With his big skew for John Kerry.
If that's true, we probably know tonight. If indeed the numbers are closer than that, than his projections, yeah, it will be difficult because you're going to take it on a state-by-state. If you have tens of thousands of votes in military votes, for instance, in Indiana, which they do, and you're not counting them tonight Well, if it's a 5,000 vote race, you're going to have to hold off. I mean, it just so you know, there may be again short of a 313 vote. If it's relatively close, we probably go well beyond this evening.
So here we are, Jack Beatty. After all those months of campaigning and a huge, by all reports, day of voting today, results beginning to come in. We still have no idea whether we'll know tonight or have to wait for days. All depends how close it is. What a picture! What a national exercise!
It certainly is, and you know, as I was just looking at these economic numbers in Ohio, trust Kerry to handle the economy 91% over Bush. Bush 9%.
With such big job losses.
That's exactly right. And families' financial situation. If you think it's worse, 85% for Kerry. If you think it's better, 51%. 87% for Bush.
Well, much more to come with these election results tonight, and we will be tracking them. Jim Nuzzo, Steve Jarding, Jack Beatty, thanks for being with us this hour. At this point, we've got a lot more polls closing in just a few minutes, but right now, standing just steady as she goes. Indiana, Georgia, Kentucky, and West Virginia for George Bush, Vermont for John Kerry. A lot still to be learned. We'll be watching it all. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.